Voice of the Cape, Drive Time 91.3. Welcome to the show. 072-238-0712 is the WhatsApp number. And as I say, being in this aircon studio is a great change after having been on that burning tarmac yesterday outside the House of Assembly. 38 in the shade it was yesterday. In the sun it was a lot hotter, and we were doing our fair amount of sweating. But interesting sauna indeed it was, and today in today's show we somehow have something of a sauna hangover. Don't forget, just after 5, we are making a live crossing to GCIS, Government Communication Information Services. They're going to be doing a live broadcast on questions surrounding sauna, and Deputy Minister of Communications, Pinky Kikana, will be in studio. The President, due to a tiring and a very crammed schedule, has apologized for not being able to make it personally to the airways, but Communications Deputy Minister Pinky Kikana will be dealing with issues surrounding sauna. And I do believe that Tanya Khoury from Acumen Media is online. And boy, it's been another busy week. Tanya, how are you doing?
It certainly has, Shafiq. My goodness, what a sonar we had, eh? I ended up standing up and clapping and getting all excited. I don't know about you. Did you enjoy it as much as I did?
Yeah, maybe not in the same way as you did, because I had to pay attention to every single word and have a summary and have a summary ready by the time he'd finished it. But I got through it. I managed to finish doing it before he finished speaking. But yes, the most detailed sonar address I have seen since 1994.
Absolutely. Look, let's start at the very beginning. I mean, Batabile Dlamini on the red carpet certainly had the stitches. She couldn't remember who designed her dress. There's always got to be one particular funny moment, and that certainly was it. But I found that sonar toned down from the previous sonars we've seen. I mean, I believe there was no gala dinner and all that sort of thing.
So very sober affair.
It became just the event itself, which is very interesting. No snacks even, eh? Well done.
Yeah, I know. In fact, even a journalist lunch, they cut back on that.
Yeah, exactly.
No, but on a more serious note. But it was a very laid-back one. In previous years, there's been so much tension in the air. Even the policemen have been very edgy. Yeah, during sauna, they were resting under the trees, just chatting. Very good-natured, very laid-back. And there was a couple of mentions before that maybe somebody would try and disrupt it. It never happened. And when Ramaphosa did speak, he spoke for 1 hour and 15 minutes, and that's the longest sauna we've had for a very long time.
It was long. You know, the most beautiful thing, and perhaps Malema and Ramaphosa had a meeting beforehand, because there were rumors that the EFF were going to disrupt, but that opening gambit from the president certainly disarmed the entire room, including Julius. I mean, Julius was laughing his head off, wasn't he?
But
the president said, if you win the elections, I'll come and sing to Mamina to you.
Yeah, but it miffed Musi Memani no end.
And Helen Zilla wasn't there. What happened there?
Helen Ziller's gone very low profile in the Western Cape, although her Twitter account still seems to be active.
Yeah, she's stirring the pot quite literally on the Twitter account, right?
Yeah. Helen Ziller, it is the twilight of her political career.
Yes.
I don't think she's going to carry on much further than this. She's done all she can do in the Western Cape, including the amount of damage you can do as well. I think for her, it's over. Patricia Lille was interesting coming there with the good party and all the puns that are going to be surrounding that. Interesting stuff.
Social media gold, certainly social media gold. Another thing that was very telling was that Zuma wasn't there, Razzmatazz wasn't there. There were a number of people who didn't turn up to Sona, and I wonder if that was a numbers thing or if it was deliberate.
Apparently Zuma was invited, but he cordially said no, he won't be there. In fact, I think he realizes even himself, if he would have been there, he would have been a rather divisive figure, because there would have been boos and there would have been cheers and there would have been jeers. So it's better
exactly. It would have taken away from the dignity of the event. And then, of course, the content of Ramaphosa's sauna was just unbelievable. The striking thing for me was how much work has been done since the last sonar that we don't know about.
Yes, a
and
tremendous
that
amount of
very
effort.
Upset. It was like, I wish you told me. I wish you told me, you know?
Yeah. Look, it's called politics. And, you know, save the best for last. But, you know, an election is around the corner. It's very, very important. But that speech was designed to silence the opposition, which it did. Because, yes. Honestly, all the opposition politicians we had in our studio, it was a bit sort of... awkward for them because they were really struggling to find something to criticize. Some of them had the decent. Some of them had the decent to say, "Yeah, it was a good address."
The thing is, Shafiq, we needed it. South Africa needed it. I feel rejuvenated and more positive about my country this morning. I was having a hard time, you know, thinking, "Wow, this economy is really struggling. I can feel it." But he made me feel so much better today, and may be electioneering, but I don't think so, because he had a tick list when he walked into the first one, and he ticked him off when he went into this one. So, and now we've got another tick list, you know, and that's how businessmen work.
Absolutely, and
I loved it. I loved every minute of it.
Yeah, you see, the difference between him giving a State of the Nation address and Jacob Zuma is somebody with a PhD addressing a university class, as opposed to somebody with a kindergarten addressing a university class.
Exactly.
That's the difference.
You're quite right. I have to confess that as the show started earlier, I'm sitting parked on the side of a road, so I don't have the stats in front of me, so I'm going to try and remember what else is on the chart. So please forgive me, audience, if I leave out a big story. But certainly the Basasa arrests made a huge impact this week. I believe there were 7 arrests, and then he handed himself in. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. But as somebody pointed out to us, they are significant, but that was fruit that had fallen off the tree. We want to see the low ripe fruit being arrested, like Ms. Dlamini, Mokonyane, and those people
Giba,
also.
Yeah. Exactly. And I think that's what and social media's lips certainly was okay, but we're the big guns. And the other thing was, the Hawks came out to say, like, listen, don't worry now. Like, we know we've arrested these 7, but don't worry about coming forward and telling us your story. See? So I don't think that worked very well.
Yeah.
I think it could have probably been handled a little bit differently. So there was that story. There was also, Black First, Land First. Like, are they just grabbing headlines?
I don't know. Yeah, it's almost desperate now. Maybe the checks are drying up from Dubai. I don't know. You know, it's... yeah.
I mean, honestly, Shafiq, I mean, when you give accolades to the death of children, it's just, I have no words for somebody like that. And then the other thing was the Bashiri, defending of the Bashiri pastor, and saying that was because he was a, what was it, successful black man, I think the words were. I mean, what is wrong with these people, and why haven't they been arrested? Surely that's hate speech to the extreme.
Yeah, but he is facing, Bashiri himself is facing some very awkward charges in court on a number of charges. So I think, whether he's been successful or not, he's certainly going to have to face a certain part of his life behind bars.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And BLF are supporting that. I don't get it. I absolutely don't get it. There was, of course, the state capture inquiry, a little bit short this week, but Adrian Basson taking the stand, and I love that man. Yeah. Like, I watched his testimony, and he made it clear that he was doing an investigation. Yes, he'd been there. It was an investigation. No, his family was not with him. And, you know, like we've said it over and over again, it's not like we don't accept that there could have been corrupt journalists in amongst all this. I think it'd probably be naive to think there weren't, but I don't think that Adrian Basson is one of them.
No, absolutely not. Tanya, if you can just hang on for a second, we're going to do 30 sure. seconds of headlines. You can just take a pause, and we'll be back off right after this.
No problem at all.
And of course, we go back to a media hit parade with Tanya Khoury from Acumen Media. Yeah, Tanya, we'd left off with Adrian Basson from Media 24 talking about his investigation into Basasa that occurred a number of years ago and all the very unfortunate consequences as a result of his investigation.
You know, it must be terrifying being an investigative journalist like that. I mean, you must know as well as he does. Like, how do you sleep at night? Aren't you scared? Like, you know, when you've got those kind of, when you're dealing with those kind of cases and those kind of people, you have to be a very special type of person.
It's tough. In fact, it actually takes its biggest toll on your family. As a media practitioner, you know it's going to come your way sometimes. You're kind of ready for it, but you know, one thing, and I've been through this, and I will never forgive those people. I forgive them on my own behalf, but I can't forgive them for what they did to my family they had to suffer through all of this, because you know, it doesn't affect just one person, it affects those around you, and that's the impact. Yeah.
Absolutely. Shafiq, then of course, we would have to talk about the Driehoek tragedy, which happened earlier this week, and that's certainly, I mean, it's left my heart very sore, and the outpouring of community in that story has been certainly endearing, but what a terrible tragedy to happen.
Yeah, and it's pointing towards some inferior construction of that school, which in turn is pointing to tender irregularities or the contractor taking some shortcuts in terms of engineering. But we'll see, you know, it's horrific. I mean, something like that shouldn't be collapsing, and specifically not on children.
We've had two schools in the media this week. Well, a few actually, but two that made the charts. And the other one, and maybe you can explain it to me, is the Sansui, is it?
Sansui.
The Sansui slap.
Yeah, there seems to be more to that than meets the eye, because the learners at the school had a demonstration the next day saying this is not a racist incident, and apparently that particular learner was a troublesome character, and the teacher just been pushed, it seems, over the sort of beyond the pale.
The limit.
Yeah, the teacher herself has said she's not going to make life easy for the SGB. She's going to hang in, and it looks like she is loved by the learners. But what it does, it points out, and my daughter is a teacher, it points out the very real realities the teachers are facing every day in the classroom, the violence that they have to face up to, and they're not allowed to lift a finger.
Yes, exactly. You know, it's a very controversial issue, Shafiq, and it certainly is one that I don't know what the answer is to that. Look, I've definitely got a couple of those wooden compasses across my knuckles as a kid.
Yeah.
You know, that was sort of par for the course, and that's because you didn't know your eight times eight on a times table, you know. So I don't know how I feel about that, but that story made the news, and then, of course, how on earth is Supra Mahamapelo back? What happened there?
Sometimes, as I say in the classics, the law can be an ass, and if you don't follow procedure, the law gets you. Yeah.
Absolutely. You're so right. My friend, that's all I have for you. I do apologize if
no,
I missed something on the charts.
we caught you off guard. We thought we'd do you slightly earlier. But Tanya, the good thing is when you get home, it's the weekend.
I don't even have to unpack the laptop.
You can just put it away for the next 2 days. Tanya, enjoy the weekend.
Thank you so much. Salaam alaikum, everybody. Take care. Okay, bye-bye.
Drive Time 91.3. Always on the cutting edge.